May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1060. Weary of wandering from the Lord, and now made willing to return, I hear and bow me to the rod, for now not without hope I mourn. There is an advocate above, a friend before the throne of love. Hymn 1060.
Thank you. Let us read from the sacred pages of God's Word, from the prophet Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43. About now, thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, but neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honourable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. Or say to the north, give up, to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this, and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Saviour. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all their nobles, and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise, they are extinct, they are quenched as tow. remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, but shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honour me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, and neither hast thou honoured me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance, let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Thy first father hath sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary, and have given Jacob to the curse, and Israel to reproaches. Let us pray. O most gracious and holy eternal Lord, O thou seest our hearts as we pray, but pray we must, O cry we must, though unworthy, though condemned, though afraid, though aware that thou knowest us through and through. Lord, our way is not hidden from thee. Thou art holy, but we have to stand and plead. Mercy, mercy, good Lord, I ask. This is the total sum. For mercy is all my shoot. Oh, let thy mercy come. We stand in need of much mercy, Lord. And we stand to and desire rightly. Oh, we desire the spirit of tender confession and repentance toward thee. We might bear fruit. Lord, the peaceable fruits of righteousness in confessing and pleading and looking and looking again and watching thereunto for the moving of the Spirit, the living streams, to heal us of all our woes and our sins. For Lord, without this living stream, we are condemned, and there is no hiding place. O Lord Jesus, be thou our hiding place. But Lord, we have to keep coming week after week, year after year in the same old way. Oh Lord, we seem to get nowhere. Oh Lord, we plead the fullness covering all our lives. Is there not one part of our life? Lord, there can never be a part of our life which does not need a covering. So we would come and plead thy fullness. Or we might know about it. But Job said, I've heard of thee with the hearing of the ear. But now mine eye seeth thee. And to witness and to know that salvation. And to have the eyes of the understanding to drink it in. Lord, we plead for help. Plead for mercy, plead for leading, plead for thy salvation. We can't plead our poverty, it's no good. Poverty is the fruit of sin. As poor as we are, we have to plead the riches of thy grace. And so, Jonah-like, we would look and look again. Dear Lord, remember us now as we gather. Oh, that thy Holy Spirit might be among us. Oh, who can worship aright without the unction, the dew of the angel of thy presence, the paraclete, the comforter, to bring forth the glories of that eternal covenant. Oh, Lord, to behold thee, Lamb slain. Oh, to know, oh, to know, oh, to know. Oh, give us some little tokens, some sweet tokens. Even as a little, if it is, that sweet hope, that thou didst really die for me, and that thou hast suffered for my sin. Oh, Lord. Oh, how, what fools we are. Oh, we can be tender and broken in one day, and the next day be careless. We have to every day confess before thee our confusion of face, as Daniel said, unto us belongeth confusion of face, unto our fathers, and so forth. And so it is this day. But unto thee belongeth mercy. It's this real mercy. It's this full salvation. It's this full forgiveness we so plead. Pray thy blessing from on high. Bless the forgiveness of sin, Lord, is not just a sentence. There is life with it. There is eternal life with it. For one must go with the other. And one is the fruit of the other. The forgiveness is the blessing of that eternal life wrought in eternity, covenanted of old and wrought at Calvary. So lead us into these sweet mysteries. Here a little and there a little and line upon line we pray. Or may we be found with living desires indicted by the Spirit, looking alone to thee. Lord, we got so much in the head and so little influence on the heart. But Lord, thou knowest every aching heart here that has a living thirst, and a real thirst it is. It doesn't go away and it grows. Oh, may we then be found at thy feet this night. We cannot put ourselves there. We ask thee to come. Oh, that the word may be made sweet. May we discover thee in the gospel. May the gospel become life to us. May the power of the Spirit, the power of Christ, rest upon our souls. May we know the glorious eternal love of the Father in the face of the Lamb, as shown unto us and made known. And may we know the
rising up from ourselves to bow and worship Thee and praise Thee. We are in a wilderness. There are only a few oases in it. Lord, it's a long journey and a wearisome journey. But there is the manna daily. Oh, what fools we are and slow together. Lord, there is the rock of Horeb's water flowing after us. So, Lord, we pray Thee for Thy blessing. Now, Lord, we pray then Thou remember us in mercy now. Establish us in what Thou hast made known and done. We're so forgetful. Establish that which Thou hast wrought for us in our hearts. Remove the veil of blindness and unbelief, that we may soberly and quietly trust Thee, though under great trial, and though severely tempted to realities. Yet, Lord, let that be a little knowledge that Thou hast spoken, and Thou hast made known, and Thou hast led forth thus far. Lord, remember this house of prayer. Remember them in mercy. Pray for the dear deacons. Be with them and bless them. Encourage them. Help them as they lead the public worship. Remember the church and congregation. And grant Thy presence to be made known in this sanctuary. Oh, deliver each from formality. While there is a right order and the old paths, leave us not to just trust in them. It is the freshness of dew that is needed. Bless this house. Remember each friend in their need. Now those in affliction, we thank Thee for those mercies to one friend especially. Pray their full recovery. We must thank Thee for bringing him through. Oh, that our hearts at times could really be grateful for all Thou art and all Thou hast done. And Lord, also for, well, it amazes us, continual long suffering with us. Long forbearance with our ignorant manners in the wilderness. We pray for those healing mercies, and there are those that have been afflicted in past time and would acknowledge the more stable condition at this time, and pray those full healing mercies. Grant all these things may be sanctified unto one and another. We thank Thee where it has been so. And there has been that taking up of the cross and following Thee. Remember all that we know not of in affliction, pain, suffering. Those unable to meet with us. Those in senior years, one we know of in senior years. Remember one and another. Lord, Thou hast visited with the hand of departure from this life. We would be thankful for that little hope. Lord, the God of mercy, Thou dost dwell with the humble mind and the humble heart. May we carry more within than is seen without, although we desire to bear fruit, of course. But Lord, is the meekness and quietness of spirit that is the fruit of grace. So Lord, we cry, great shepherd of Thy people, remember this house of prayer. Bless the ministry of the word. Grant a godly increase and a building up. If it could please Thee, we'll be thankful for a fair number gathering. but may among these that gather there be many called to glory, brought forth to confess thee before men. We pray there may be changes in their lives. Lord, changes in heart and changes in activity without. Lord, do appear. And remember the children, bless their Sunday school, the instruction, week after week. Remember those who've departed. May there be some true prodigals to return. Remember all exercise. May this gathering be an exercise gathering, an exercise people. Lord, and well, we pray for this house of prayer. We pray for Zion. Bless thy servants on the walls of Zion. A number laid aside in affliction. My servant in America, and we know of two wives and so forth. And many in sorrow and under reproach and laid aside. Be gracious. Remember the editors of our magazines. The seculars of our charitable societies. Bless them in their labours. There are those now unable to speak through great infirmity and great age and weakness. Oh, shine, we pray. Now, Lord, remember that one church in the earth, the missionaries where thy name is feared. Thy word is read, many in deep places of the earth. Deprivation, poverty, famine, persecution, war. Have mercy on this, our guilty land. Appear for England in these most solemn and terrible times. Great days of instability and confusion are upon us in the land, and the people love to have it so. Lord, lengthen out in mercy and indulgence our Protestant heritage, our civil liberties, our religious liberties, our freedom to worship. And Lord, open the eyes of our royal house and our leaders to their sin and shame. And now, Lord, we must and will and desire to rightly render thanks for all thy mercies and thy goodness unto us, thy great, great goodness. O Lord, many mercies, daily mercies, abundance of supply, many answers to prayer, helps by the way. Father, we pray for those spiritual mercies and thank thee, and pray that we may give thanks with understanding, having tasted a little shower of thy salvation. The blood of the everlasting covenant, even of our Lord above, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, a precious blood. It's thy blood. And Lord, is it given unto us for a token, for a covering, for atonement, for reconciliation, for safety on earth, and after death, the plenitude of heaven. Lord, we would remember it is thy blood we plead. And what a mercy. The word of God, the doors of the sanctuary, and many spiritual blessings. Now, Lord, do hear our cries. Bless the singing of thy worthy praise. Anything we may have omitted or overlooked, do make up in giving. That which is sown in weakness, thou canst raise in power. O Lord, undertake for us. Lord, help me. We ask in thy worthy name. And for thy sake we plead, who is sufficient for these things. Amen.
Hymn 275. Let me, thou sovereign Lord of all, low at thy footstool humbly fall, and while I feel affliction's rod, be still and know that thou art God. Hymn 275.
Thank you.
complete dependence upon the Lord, I will draw your attention to the prophet Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54 and verse 9. Isaiah 54 and verse 9. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. Isaiah 54 verse 9. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, and so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. This word follows the dealings of God in judgment and chastisement, correction, tribulation, is there someone here who feels the awfulness of the Lord forsaking them? He says here, in a little wrath. He doesn't feel a little wrath. When the Lord deals with us, it's not small wrath, you know. It is, as he says, it is in a little wrath. It's in mercy, there's mercy in it. But it seems to us as mountains and oceans of sorrow and desertion of soul. But it is but a little wrath. For it were a great wrath, you would not be left to any hope whatsoever. For a small moment have I forsaken thee. But, says God, with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath, I hid my face from thee for a moment. Now, it doesn't feel like a moment. Someone's here perhaps tonight who feels the Lord has hidden their face. When will it end, Lord? How long? But it is but for a small moment. With him, as is a day as a thousand years, and as a thousand years as a day. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. We are conditioned for the need of mercy and to seek that mercy and that salvation, that grace. Remember, the Lord is speaking to his Zion, whom he brought forth out of Egypt, that vine planted. Therefore he speaks to his people, and he's speaking to his church whom he has blessed and favoured. And because of their heart wanderings and their nature, he has to hide his face. Have you been brought to this? If the Lord would not be God if he didn't correct us. The Lord would not be a real living God if he just passed by and did nothing. A reality is that as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. The purpose of that is a preparation of glory. Eternal love, that is, you know. It doesn't feel like it. It doesn't feel like it. As many as I love, oh, what a statement. You and I, our love is pretty fickle. But you know, not the Lord's.
Oh, love, friends, you know we have to taste it to understand it. There has to be a tasting of grace to know what grace is. And if there's someone here who's tasted a little of grace, I'm not asking how much. You could say, how sweet the grace that took me in. How sweet the love. How sweet the compassion. How was I foreknown, Lord? How could they ever foreknow me? Yet he does. I'm only a worm. You know, the more you look at yourself, the more salvation seems impossible, doesn't it? The more you know yourself, the more salvation seems completely beyond us. But of course it is beyond us. It is all of his grace. And why? Now just ponder. Have you tasted? Have you tasted a little? Tremendous friend. Who are you? Why should God, the foolish things of this world, the weak things, the base things, is it real? You see the condition? You're made to feel weak, base, foolish, poor. There's the conditioning of the Spirit to receive grace. And God does these things. Now he speaks to his Zion, he loves Zion. But oh, how Zion wanders. How they love to wander, don't they? Friend, let's be clear. We love to, well, we don't, you know. We don't love to wander, but our old nature loves it. The new man of grace doesn't want it. And I can tell you, if I know anything about it, there's a groaning and knowing it's wrong. And yet still there's a loving of the old nature to wander. Prone. You know, we're prone to it, you know. Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. You know, there's mercy in this sentence as well. I know it's a hymn, it's not scripture, but prone to leave the God I love. Now, what a mercy if there is a love there. We love him because he first loved us. Well, I want to get to the point. What the Lord is saying is this dealing, this dispensation, this chastisement is as the waters of Noah. And that was waters of Noah, which of course referring to the flood, because Noah was given that grace to find the refuge or build the refuge of the ark. You know, by faith he built it. I verily believe Noah saw more than just a safe passage through the storm. I believe he saw a glory in that ark. Not the Aaronic ark, Mosaic ark. I don't mean that. But he saw a type of it. A type of it. A refuge. You know, by faith. By faith. As he built that ark, he must have wondered at God's goodness. A glorious type of his Redeemer. And there he was building it. You know, he must have wondered much at that building. You know, dear friends, what a mercy it is to have a little meditation. But there it is. He swore that he would not destroy the earth again. He says here, as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth. And he did. He goes on to say, Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. The Lord smelled a sweet savour. The Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. The imagination of every man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I've done and so forth. And he makes that covenant with the earth. We call it the covenant with the earth. The seed time and harvest and so forth would not fail. God bless Noah. And I will establish my covenant with you. You see, God makes this covenant with the earth, but he shows Noah something else. And with that bow, it is a reminder of the former mercy. Because the earth, I won't go into the detail now, but we believe the earth was surrounded according to the first chapters of Genesis, a water surrounding the earth and the air and then the water on the earth at the same time and so forth. And the sunlight must have been, was called a paradise. Creation was beautiful, beautiful. What a difference Noah saw. No longer the hues of the rainbow at every turn of his head. Nothing but ruin. And now an open sky. But God gave that token. And what a glorious type it is of heaven, a heavenly paradise. And you know, the one real token that Noah, he sacrificed, would be that blood. This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you, every living creature and so forth, but who set my bow in the cloud. Now, I can't go into all this, but as you know, and I will just quote from Hebrews rather than elsewhere, perhaps in Jeremiah, but where God says, for this is the covenant, behold, the days come, we'll make a new covenant. He says, not according to the covenant that I made with your fathers. I took them out of Egypt. This is the covenant that I will make. Put my laws into their mind. Write them in their hearts. Now listen. Is that covenant being written in your heart? Laws in your mind. Write them in their hearts. Friend, not just the law of Moses, but the gospel covenants, the gospel peace, the gospel blessing. It speaks of a covenant of grace. And I'll be to them a God. They should be to me a people. There's a lot in that. Is the Lord your God? Is God your Lord? Is he your King? Do you pray to him? Does he help you? Do you have helps by the way? Are you led to know the grace of his dying? When he expired, did he know you? Ponder it, my heart, ponder it. Oh, ask that you'll be led here. Ask you'll be led here. I'm not saying you've got to understand everything in your heart and mind. It's the poor, abject sinner that cries is received, that confesses his sins. But here is the fullness of love. You know, we want to feel God's love, don't we? Some people say, I want to feel the Lord loves me. You know, there is a place where it was brought forth. That is Calvary. And the grace of that resurrection. You know, I just feel so alone. I mustn't complain, but I don't think anyone understands me, you know, sometimes in our own circles. It's almost as if it's not necessary. But it is, friend. It is necessary. It's a laying of a foundation in the heart. And you know, that anchor in the soul will never remove. Although you will fear, you never knew it in the first place. You're utterly deceived. It was all imagination. Yet, once made known, that token will be there. He goes on to say, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Now listen, language. You got that exercise. You know what it is to be unrighteous. And friend, if we die unrighteous without any knowledge of healing balm, without any drawing to Christ, no drawing, no reaching forth of the tongue to drink of the stream, it's woe to us. And I'll be merciful to them. Why should he be? Why should it be? This is the covenant. This is the waters of Noah. This is what you're going through. This is the tribulation you've been in. You're under chastening. The Lord is rebuking thee. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten those hours of darkness. Friend, I know it. I know it. And he's right. The Lord is right, friend. Oh, have you had to sigh and say, Lord, I know thy judgments are right, and in faithfulness thou hast afflicted me. Have you to own it to the Almighty, and tenderly, and be glad of it, as much as it's painful, as much as it's almost like a feeling of despair at times, but to own it, to be right, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. He doesn't despise it. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Friend, what a blessing. This is the covenant. This is the waters of Noah. You know, your sins, friend. God does not remember them. Do you? Yes, you do. And God will have you remember them. For you know, one day, and we want foretaste of this. We want foretaste of it. Do you need a foretaste? To know that death, which is judgment for sin, let's be clear. Death, what is death? Well, we know what it, we fear what it is to die. Of course we do. I hope we do. You know, it's a final departure. A terrible wrench between the soul and the body. An awful wrench. And it's a struggle. And it's got to happen. There'll be a dissolution from below these earthly ties. Yet you know, it is the fullness of love. It's the judgment for sin. Yet he doesn't remember thy sins. All forgiven. All forgiven. All forgiven. Now, I want to just come to this. In what you're under now, may you prove, may I prove, that this is as the waters of Noah. These sovereign dealings, for a small moment have I forsaken thee. He does. He did David, he did Jacob. He did the Apostle Peter. But with great mercies. You know, it's more than one can expect, isn't it? Great mercies will I gather thee. You know, those great mercies aren't imagination of big swelling mercies, you know. It's those helps. Do you know, the smallest help to me is a great mercy. You think about it. Don't imagine great things, great blessings and bright lights and so forth. Get that out of your mind. Great mercy. Just to rim, the dying thief knew a great, Lord, remember me. But see the simplest cry. Remember me. Lord, remember me. What a great mercy. What a great blessing. That he should be remembered. Of course, the Lord gave him more than his request. This day shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know, dear friends, that the Lord should even, oh, remember me, is a great mercy. But, you know, dear friends, either mercy is full or it isn't. There are many little mercies and providential mercies and earthly mercies. But, oh, eternal mercy is a full one. It's a full one. And that is what we... he says, I would not be wroth with thee. That thing you've known, that thing you've hit, nor rebuke thee. You've known what that rebuke is. Now, I read the 43rd of Isaiah. I want to come to this point. But I will turn to Micah, as it seems to be with me. Who is a God like unto thee? Who would make this covenant? Who would, you know, dear friends, what do we mean by salvation? We could say many things, but I want to point you what I said just now, how vital these things are. He spared not his own son. What for some of us, You think how careless and unmindful you are of that truth. How unmindful we are of that truth. He spared him not, and he knew we'd wander. He knows we're wander. He knows we're backsliding. Yet he spared him not. And how the Lord in his suffering turned and looked on Peter. Dear friends, Peter needed that look. And the Lord gave it. Your Father which is in heaven knoweth what things you have need of. You have need of. He knows it. He knew Peter needed it. He knows what you need tonight. He knows the help you need, the strength you need, the mercy you need, the word you need. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? You know, what's Micah got in view here? It's a living pardon. It's a living pardon. What do I mean by that? A living pardon. One that breathes life. One, when it's made known, breathes forth peace and mercy. Now that's who pardoneth iniquity. Not just general. His people. Those whom he died for. You know, what a mercy to have an exercise. Shall I among them stand? They're the ones who are being led to plead. You know, there is a sacrifice for sin once forever at Calvary, and there's are some of us here in the journey looking for that appearing, longing for that appearing. And you can't rest until you have it, can you? Because your heart is exercised thereby. Pardoneth iniquity. Friend, and we begin to tremble perhaps a little, an even greater depth, when we consider who can know the iniquity? The Lord knew it. He has laid on him the iniquities of us all. You don't know your iniquity to its fullest extent. You probably couldn't bear it if you did. But he poured out his soul unto death and passeth by. Why should you be passed by? Why should he pass by you and not judge you? Oh, what a glorious time was Egypt. Friend, they did not appreciate it. I fear I'm like them sometimes. But you know, that I'm not saying you'll have that experience. I'm not saying you'll have an experience of, by faith, hiding there, sheltering. But you know, is there understanding in the soul? Is that where you long to be? And it's the Redeemer. It's not just the blood of a lamb, a Paschal. It's the glorious Son of God. I said in prayer, you know, dear friends, we speak of the Lord. It's His blood. His blood. The exalted Son of God. Now at the Father, it's the blood of God, if I may say so. Not, of course, in His innate deity. I couldn't say that because He was manifest in flesh. It is the life of the flesh. And the Son of God was not just flesh. He was the holy, eternal Son of God evermore. But he assumed flesh to suffer. But nonetheless, there was a glorious union. And now never divided. And never to be broken in those natures. In other words, a whole Saviour and a whole Son of God and a whole Redeemer. Passeth by. The transgression of the remnant of his heritage. Passing it by. What does the prophet say? Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Look at the difference. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Let us apply this. Look at the woman whose sins were forgiven. Now are you among her? Are you with her? What does she do? You know, she came to where the Lord was, in another house, the Pharisee's house. And is that where you go? You long to follow the Lord. You long to go to him. Are you weeping? Are you pursuing in prayer, spiritually? Dear friends, you've got to go. Do you know, a living soul will have to come to Christ. You know, what a mercy. Are you one of those having to go to the Lord Jesus? It's give me Christ or else I die, the hymn writer says. And she came and wept. Now, that was a double weeping. You know, she wept in love and desire. She wept in shame and confusion of her own sin, but knew there was forgiveness with him. She hadn't actually received it by his lips as she was about to, but she loved him. You know, taking his feet was a sign of great reverence and respect. And so, though you may not have had the clear forgiveness of sin, the full assurance of faith, yet your heart weeps before him. You know, this sweet mystery, if you just, someone could come in from outside and say, well, I don't understand this. Fancy talking about going and weeping at the feet of God. What are you talking about? I can't see anything in that. So is he a living Christ? Is it living mercy? Is it living salvation? Is it the reality of condemnation gone? You so want to be set free and a liberty forever, to walk with a knowledge, a longing for heaven, longing for it. Is there someone here longing for heaven? The apostle Paul did. Friend, you may say, I'm not ready. I didn't ask you that, friend. That is in the Lord's hand. For the longing is the evidence of life. To be with, could you say this? Well, I'm going to quote a hymn which is a hard, you can't always say it, you know. I'll have to admit I can't always say it. But I wish I could. I could from all things parted be. Oh, it's high language. I tremble to say it. But never, never, Lord, from thee. It's that last statement that is so real, isn't it? That last, never, never, Lord, from thee. Never from thee. The first line we would rather tremble to say, because we know what it might mean, or we might fear it will mean something. But that last line is very sweet, you know. Paul said to be with Christ, which is far better. Can you come in there? And it is, friends. And you know, some people say, oh, I'll talk on better things. You know, but they don't, do they? It's a lot of hobwobbly. Friend, I don't like it. What do you mean by better things? And they just pass it by as a good statement, and they're thought well of. Forgive me for being critical. I don't mean to be like that. I criticise myself, but it's something I've avoided saying. You know, if you love the Lord, it's only him. It's not systems of religion or this. It's him. We want to speak of blessing. It comes from him. Source and giver of repose. Source of it. Friends, it's the head of the stream. And that's where you long to be. You can't be content being down the stream. A living soul wants to be at the source. At the source. That is heaven. Do you long to go there? He retaineth not his anger forever. Now that is a great blessing, but what comes? Do you know anything of this? Is your heart after it? He delighteth in mercy. What an expression of the full grace of God. That is what he delights in. Now listen, the Lord delights in mercy. No wonder he hears the broken-hearted cry and the poor sinner groaning, the prisoner groaning, because he delights to hear it. He will turn again. He will have come. Have you had to plead that? Lord, turn us again, O God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, we shall be saved. Visit this vine, the right hand of thy planting. You know, you have had a plant. Has there been a planting in your heart? Do you look back years ago? And it's all overgrown with briars and weeds. Oh, he will turn again. He's going to till it, you know. He will turn again. If he didn't, friend, there'd be no hope for any of us. And I'm telling you, he will turn again. He will turn again. Not because the word says so, I feel persuaded. Oh, John, Rosie, be careful what you say. I do feel at times sweetly persuaded he will, you know. But we're made to wait for it, aren't we? And fear we're deceived. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. You know, to a dying man, salvation is the fullest of compassion. A dying man needs compassion. Compassion. Loving, do you need compassion? The Lord to help you out of all the confusion, the sorrow, the mess you're in. You know, God's work is a humbling work to the heart. It brings us to silence, you know. You know, the Lord will make you silent sometimes. You'd be ashamed to even put your head out. Well, even to appear near the chapel. It's a humbling work. The Lord will not have us exalt ourselves or flaunt our religion in front of his eyes, you know. He's a jealous God. He's jealous of his atonement. And there's the blessing. He's jealous of his the glory, his own glory of his only begotten Son. And he will have his people weep there and live there. He will subdue our iniquities. You know, doesn't it take a long time? You know, but God's clock is not slow, as the old saying is. There is a set appointed time. And thou wilt cast their sins into the depths of the sea. The meaning of it. We have the prophet saying, we actually read. There's a clause, I read these two portions. There's the one in the following chapter, where he says, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and a cloud thy sins. You know, dear friends, what makes that living? What makes that alive in your heart? Return unto me, for I redeem thee. Return. Return unto me. There's the evidence that it's so. When their soul returns, weeping, mourning, longing, understanding, loving, realizing some of this grace, even for a poor worm like me. Is that how you feel? Grace for me, Lord? What me, Lord? It's a, you know, it is a surprise, you know. I hope you think so. Well, we read together, didn't we? No. And this is why I say, oh, pray to be led to the Lord's place where he died in meditation. I'm not asking you to do great things. Ask a little understanding, a little light on the matter to your own soul. and let love cause him to groan, to put away your sins, friend. I'm not asking too much, you know. For your own soul's good, for your spiritual health, for your strength. If you're endured, you're going to need grace to endure. And you need some meat, dear friends, for the journey's too great. The pilgrim's journey is far too great, you know, for you to manage. He'll give you, but oh, ask. He says, because this is the word, I am an I. I am an I am he. It's not just forgiveness of sin. I've done it. No. Don't you long to know the man that sent you that large check through? Would you like to thank him? Or would you like to just tell him, thou didst save me from humiliation and I was going bankrupt, but friend, look what you've done. You've delivered me from shame and the creditors and so forth. I even I am he. Don't you long to know him? There's something wrong if you don't. I even I am he. It's the Lord. Peter said, it's the Lord, he said. As they were on the, look, it's the Lord. He was on the shore. That filled him with, do you know, that cheered them up. They were glad to see him. And so will you be, soul, to have a word from him. You know, it's right to have words. I hope the Lord has spoken to me. But, friend, it's not just the word. It's not just a print. Dear friend, it's who it comes from. It's the grace of the person, the glory of the person. God himself, through his only begotten Son. And it isn't just Christ. Christ, oh, he never, oh, let God forbid I should even begin to give that hint, but the glorious Trinity work as one. They are one. And it's a Father's eternal forgiveness when Christ says to that woman, her sins, which are many, are all forgiven. I even I. It's personal, isn't it? Dear Lord, remember me. Oh, do you pray to him? A living head, a living person, the Son of God, God manifest in flesh. I even I am he. I've done it. Oh, sinner, stop and consider what I've done. Behold me, behold my sufferings. Look at your sin, sinner. Now see what I foreknew. You know, I'd be careful what I say, but oh, dear Lord, help me. I dread to utter wrong. You know, dear friends, as we go on, and we learn more the wretchedness of our heart. You'd hardly believe it, could you? You could hardly hope there's a purpose of grace in it. When we come, I just feel this as we go further on. I need depths of mercy. Greater, greater. And friend, that is why you That is why you are being led through the deep waters of affliction. That you will know the depths of love. Who could begin to explore it but you knew your sin? What would all the ocean fullness of grace and love mean except the depth of your iniquities? See what I mean? I, even I am he. What a word, dear friends. It's the Lord. It's the Lord himself. That blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake. You know, there's a deep mystery that. And I'm not equipped to speak on it, although I believe I had a little knowledge of it at the very beginning. That's something I've told you in time past, where I pleaded, I asked the Lord to show me. I didn't understand what it was to pray for Jesus Christ's sake. I said, Lord, Lord forgive me, I don't know what it all means. Why do I pray this? Why does a man say this? And I hope Oh, I've made shipwreck so many times, I fearful to boast. I hope he gave me a little glimpse of himself in Gethsemane, as saying, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, and nevertheless not my will but thine be done. You know, I felt my sins gone. I could see the glory of that prayer. I can no denial take when I plead for Jesus' sake. It's a full offering, and it's a full blessing, and it's for the chief of sinners, and it's for whosoever will let him take the water of life freely. Are you brought there? Friend, we sing nothing in my hand I bring, but you know you jolly well do, don't you? You're always bringing yourself to the Lord, but you know when you're emptied, and you can't empty yourself, and no man can do it for you. It's only the Spirit's work. Oh, just to fall down on that fullness for his own glory. That is why we've been called, for the love that was in it. The glory of God is love. Love to lost man for his own sake. We'll not remember thy sins. So have I sworn. What you're in tonight, what you've been confessing, I will not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. That means eternally. The end of the journey comes. As this, do you know what is forgiveness? What is full? What's the meaning of full forgiveness? The one who forgives is the one who speaks as if it had never happened. But the one who receives it just is in a wonderment because they know what they've done. Now you know what you've done. You know your heart. Yet God loves as if you hadn't done it, because he charged it to his son and his son died. I don't want to make it sound simple and easy, but I feel that to be the understanding, because if there's a shadow of a spot, meaning a remembrance, you know, the shadow of the sin. You may not be in the sin, you may not love the sin, you may put the sin away, but there's that's the shadow. It's still, the reproach is still there. We couldn't get to heaven under that reproach. Dear Jesus, shine. Shine in my last hours. Come in my last hours. Come and redeem me. I want a full salvation, Lord. A full one. Think of that. A number of places we could go to, but there was the woman who was taken in adultery, I think it was, yes. And you know, the account in John 8, you can read it. And the Lord Jesus lifted himself up, and he first said to the accusers, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. He knew their hearts, you know. And he got up and they'd all gone. And he said, woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. You know, because they were as bad as the woman in their heart. God made them feel it. Although it wasn't, I'm not aware that it was for their salvation, but he has the power upon all men. Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Now if this is so, and it is so, and it is true, it means that she is one that the Lord had got to die for yet. And he said, I don't condemn thee, neither do I condemn thee. And the exhortation is, go and sin no more. And I believe the power of grace would have been a reform of her life. Although no doubt she would be tempted with the devil like you and I are afterwards. She wouldn't be exempt from that. But you see, it was the change of heart. You know, it's the new heart. The old nature's still there. The old nature will I wish it wouldn't, but it does break out. But it's the new heart I will give you. Take away the stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. Friend, it's the new heart, the desire. You know, you can't make yourself a sinner tonight. People say so easily, do you know I've done the same? I admit it, friend, I've admitted it to the Lord. So easy to say, I feel to be the chief of sinners. If you did, you'd be quiet. I tell you that. It's a solemn thing. Yet the Apostle Paul felt it. He really felt it. Of whom I am chief. You know, full forgiveness. Perhaps that's how you feel this rebuke is tonight. There's a word that once, and it's made me tremble again recently. In fact, I was feeling it these last few days. He that hardeneth his neck, being often reproved, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. What a solemn word. What a solemn word. Why pass me by? How shall we escape if we neglect salvation? Well, I've wandered off a bit. I've got to close. May this be a word tonight. This is as what you're in, what you're passing through. The real judgments of God against you, the hand of the Lord, gone out against you in a number of ways. Do you feel it, friend? And it goes on, doesn't it? But this is, I judge the earth, but I remembered my covenant from the Garden of Eden, and I renewed it with Noah, and as a sign I made a covenant with the earth as well, to display it so that man would understand the nature of a better covenant. Although he doesn't, he needs grace to do it, of course. But this is as the waters of Noah. What a mercy if it is so, you know. This flood of sorrow. A flood of sorrow. And look what it covers. Look at it drowns out. It, you know, a flood covers buildings. And the floods of sorrow and correction drown out all your prospects, all your blessings, all those past promises. It floods them all over, doesn't it? But I made my covenant. As I've sworn that this will cease. The waters will assuage. The judgments will be withdrawn. They've been extended and finished upon mine only begotten Son. Oh, be humble, heart, be humble. Oh, Christ, He's borne our iniquities, and it's the shame of them as well. So have I sworn, upon an oath, by two immutable things wherein God cannot lie, that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee.
God willing, Mr. Jonathan Buss will preach next Lord's Day. There will be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Wheatley will preach on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 961. Be still my heart. These anxious cares to thee are burdens, thorns and snares. They cast dishonour on thy Lord and contradict his gracious word. Hymn 961.
and bless thy word. Forgive all utterance amiss. Convey us to our homes in safety and in peace. We ask in thy worthy name and for thy sake, Lord. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, now, forever. Amen.